I've been noticing that other podcasts I listen to these have these things called sponsors.
It's funny that you mentioned that because today's episode of Superhero Speak is actually brought to you by Blueberry.com.
Yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Yes, it seems everyone and their mother has podcasts nowadays.
Don't get me started on my mom's podcast.
Well, we'll leave that discussion for later, John. But as a podcaster, what is a crucial first step?
Does it have to do with necromancy?
I do seem to recall a deal with a certain Dark Lord.
No, wait, hold on. You need hosting guys, and luckily Blueberry offers a great hosting option.
That's cool, but for a podcast, you need things like unlimited downloads and optimization for iTunes.
They have that.
Okay, but what's the catch? Do I need to sell my firstborn, please?
No. There's no contract. You can cancel any time. Plus, really great free technical support.
Okay, that's all well and good. But what about analytics, like premium podcast statistics and lots of information about the people downloading your episodes?
Oh, they got that covered too.
Sweet, but what if you already have a hosting plan? Can you still get the statistics?
Hold up, Dave. I've got this one. John, I heard about a WordPress plugin for Blueberry to stream your podcast so you can sign up for just the premium statistics separately.
Ben, you are correct. And right now, for listeners of Superhero Speak, we have a great deal for you. When you sign up for either the hosting plan or the premium statistics and use the promo code Superhero Speak, you'll get a month for free.
Wow, that sounds like an amazing deal.
And no human sacrifice needed at all. Are you sure about this?
Nope. So if you're planning on starting a podcast, and who isn't nowadays, head on over to blueberry.com. That's BlueBrry.com. And use the promo code Superhero Speak and get a month free. Don't miss out on this amazing deal.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event, able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
You're listening to Superhero Speak, and that rhymes with geek. And I'm your host, Dave.
And this is Ben. And wait, oh, John's not there.
No, John is missing this week. We don't know where he is. He's not responding to any of our phone calls or tweets. So, John, if you're out there, we hope you're okay.
We'll send flowers if it helps.
And if you are okay, where the hell are you?
He'll turn up
Yes.
like a bad penny.
So, what is going on? Hey, let's start out this podcast by saying happy 75th birthday to Batman.
He doesn't look a day over 50.
No, he doesn't. Looks really good for his age.
He does. Quite good.
Yes. So,
So.
yeah, there was a bunch of celebration online this week for Batman's 75th birthday. A lot of
Yep.
people wishing him a happy birthday. He's a fictional character, people. He can't hear you.
But yes.
But
Although
yes.
it's good to see, though, that a character of that has been around that long, still has the staying power, still is kept fresh and modern. They have new video games coming out for him and new also new comics and new collateral and all sorts of different things, keeping him fresh and new and vital.
Yes.
So
All
it's
right. So, anything interesting going on in the world of movies, Ben?
Well, I've seen some things about a couple different movies that are on the horizon. I see a lot more bleak fest on the horizon regarding the new X-Men movie. The future looks pretty dark there, Dave.
Yeah, it does. I have to say, they've been going commercial crazy lately. I mean, I know it's the movie's coming out soon, and they're doing heavy promotion. But the more I see, the more the special effects look good, but the more I get worried because you see a new X-Men every commercial.
Yeah, they do. They are a little character heavy. But it's maybe they manage it. Some of them could just be pretty light, sporadic, just a couple of seconds here or there. And that could also be part of the bleakness that we see, that we probably see a bunch of them get killed off in the future. But that's one future. It doesn't mean that that's a future that will exist after the events of the movie.
Right. And actually, that brings me to a question. Number one, actually brings me to a couple questions. But number one, in the storyline, Days of Future Past, in the comic books, in the future, a bunch of X-Men have been executed, killed.
Right, right.
And that's what prompts them, you know, to go back and change past and stop the war, blah, 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 blah. You know, who do you think, are they going to show X-Men being killed on screen, and who do you think will be the first victim?
That's a tough two-part question there, Dave. I think that they'll probably be, I don't think they'll show carnage. I think they'll show, you know, scenes that suggest that characters are being killed, but they won't really show anything bloody or gruesome, because they want to keep the rating, you know, they probably want to keep to a PG-13 rating at most. So for the theater at least. But you may end up seeing an R-rated or unrated release that has additional deleted scenes, you know, once it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD and whatnot. But yeah, I think they'll be forthcoming in that they'll just keep it clean. Who would be first to go? I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. Unfortunately, I have to admit my geekdom is weak in this area, because I haven't actually read the storyline in the comics. So I don't have the background. But, so yeah, I don't know. Obviously not Wolverine.
No. I think what they should do, since we all know, we talked about this last time, they've cut a lot of Halle Berry's scenes out.
Yeah.
She should be the first to...
That's one way to go. They could take her out right up front, to explain why she's getting cut out of a number of other scenes.
Yeah, see? Just zap her right there. Yes, it's interesting. And then my follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that possibly they'll use this like they did with, think of Star Trek and the reboot?
Yeah.
Now they're going back and changing the past. They can wipe out all of the X-Men movies that have happened and reboot them.
They could. But, well, yes and no. So, to do that, so I guess there's two ways to look at this. The big question here is the state of things in the quote-unquote future in this film. Is that a future state based on the timeline we've seen so far? Or is it an alternate future,
right,
based on some ripple effect of things that happened in the past? Because I think that even the existence of the technology that Bolivar Trask is working with is a time paradox that shouldn't even exist in the time period that he's developing it. Is part of the storyline that they're establishing here. So in that sense, I guess that's an important question to know how that would play out. Like, it feels like it should be that they're essentially erasing the continuity that they've established, because if the Wolverine movies play into it, and right. if we saw the at the end of the Wolverine that after credit scene that showed him and, you know, Magneto and Xavier approaching him, suggesting that all fits together. You would think that the future that we're seeing is the future from right. that universe. So yeah, it could be a reset.
And that's the question I've been having too. With the end of the Wolverine, is that suggesting that Days of Future Past, the future part, is taking place right now in our current time? Or is it going to be, they're going to have that scene, but now they're going to jump 20 years, well, maybe not 20 years, you know, 10 years in the future, and then jump back? Because it's kind of hard to believe that, that all of this happened without any evidence in the other movies, you know?
Right.
Because, well, they show a pretty bleak future, like you said.
They do. And to be fair, we don't really know what the state of the world is in Wolverine, other than, you know, what he ends up dealing with in Japan and his very brief time in, you know, the nether regions of Canada. So, you know, those bleak events could have been ongoing in America and in Europe, and we just weren't in view of them because of the context of the Wolverine movie.
Right.
But you'd think that they'd at least be referenced somehow if they were already ongoing.
Right. And that's the thing, too. I mean, that took place in Japan, so we don't know what was going on in the States during that movie.
Right.
So it's an interesting... it's an interesting conundrum, and, you know, I'm getting excited for the movie, but again, I'm nervous because it's jam-packed. So,
yeah.
we'll see. You know, we've got time, you know.
Right.
We've got...
And we've got time, and we've also got an ambitious slate of movies that are going to follow this one, too. Because we've got this one coming up in May, and Fox recently announced a whole slate of other movies that are going to tie together with this.
Yes, which is very ambitious on their part.
Very much. So they've already stated previously that they're tying the Fantastic Four universe into this, with a Fantastic Four reboot coming in 2015, X-Men Apocalypse in 2016, two movies in 2017, a Wolverine 3 and a Fantastic Four sequel, and they've even slated a mystery movie that related to these somehow in 2018. So it seems like they're trying to capture the Marvel mojo that Marvel Disney has been exercising. We'll see if they're biting off more than they can swallow.
Right, because they have the gravitas with the X-Men. The other franchise they have is the Fantastic Four.
Right.
And unfortunately, it hasn't been as much of a box office blockbuster as the other movies. You know?
Well, yes and no. And to be fair, both of the Fantastic Four movies actually were box office successes. They just were, the fans didn't rate them well. Like, they were not well received, but they were well watched. You know, if you look at the numbers, by the numbers alone, they were actually successful.
Right. But they weren't Spider-Man. You know, unfortunately, that's one of the downsides of these movies being uber successful as they are, is they all get compared to each other. So if, you know, Spider-Man makes $300 million in his first weekend and X-Men doesn't, oh, well, guess what? You're not as good, you know, and it's not fair. I mean,
I liked
the first Fantastic Four movie, you know?
I did too, but I think part of the problem, it comes in the comparisons, as things move along, as things change, you know, the lens that you have to that you put these things up to changes. So, like, Spider-Man was a hugely successful, and I loved Spider-Man when it was released. But if you compare it to more modern movies, like even just Iron Man or some of the other more recent movies, those have been done better. So I think they're better than Spider-Man. And even though some people are critics of The Amazing Spider-Man, I think in some ways it did a little bit of a better job than the original Spider-Man movie was on that story. Right. There's pluses and minuses. You know, there's a little bit of hokiness that seems to be getting weeded out, a little more realism that keeps getting infiltrated into it, and the bar keeps raising. So, you know, what was great then doesn't get measured as great now, and that seems to keep shifting.
No, that's true. I mean, take a look at the 89 Batman movie.
Yeah.
And then compare it to the Nolanverse.
You know, right.
Yes. Even though it was a much more serious movie than the 66 Batman, it was still a hokey movie in comparison. So.
Right. And along those lines, I happened to be watching TV the other day, some DVR fare. And afterward, there was whatever channel was on. I think it was on the Hub. And it was late in the evening. And apparently they air episodes of The Lois and Clark Adventures.
Yes, it's on the Hub.
And I remember liking that show a lot as a kid. Whatever years that was on, whatever age I was at that point, I enjoyed the hell out of that show. Seeing it now, it makes Smallville look like Shakespeare.
That is so true. It's so sad because I tried watching it as well. And it was funny because it was in a episode where Superman goes to court. And I don't remember what the whole story was, but, you know, he agrees to be arrested even though he has superpowers and be handcuffed and processed and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the villain was Lex Luthor in the episode. And Lex Luthor was it throughout the show. And I kept thinking, you know... the talks about Lex Luthor possibly having hair, but it's like, oh wait, they did it. He wasn't bald in Lois and Clark.
Right.
Lex Luthor had hair, so it's like, huh? And they got away with that.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think I would put it up there with the greatest Superman stories ever told.
No, definitely not.
So if you're late at night, you're bored and you see Lois and Clark on Hub, and you haven't seen it in a while, so it might be better left in your memories.
Agreed.
So, what else we got on the docket?
So, well, speaking of some of our X-Men friends, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are starting to make appearances, filming in the Avengers 2. And we're starting to see some what their costumes look like.
Yes. And I'm a little nervous. Well, no. I like the Avengers 2 take. It was the the Days of Future Past one.
The Days of Future Past one was a little bit scary in the hokiness of it. But yeah, I think the Avengers one, I think some people have criticized the look of, you know, the look of Quicksilver with the actor actually in the costume. But it's possible that maybe that won't be a big deal. Maybe it'll look better post-production.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen a lot of those set pictures for Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. and a lot of them you don't see, like the Quicksilver one, I think he was just wearing regular pants. Like, I think he's wearing a top. That's the colors, and they're going to do something CG with that post-production. Like, I don't think that's the final look, you know? Because I mean, Ultron was looked like a, you know, it was a guy in a black coat, black pants.
Yes, that definitely looked hokey. But I think that we can all agree that that's probably just a stand-in prop for, you know, something they're going to CG in later. But I'd imagine with Quicksilver, they can rely heavily on practical, at least for what he looks like.
Right, and you know the thing about Quicksilver. He moves super fast. He's like the Flash.
That's true.
He can come in and you don't even know he's sitting right next to you.
Right.
Just like Frank Duran.
Hey.
Like, real books don't have Batman.
Hey, how are you guys?
Snuck in on the podcast.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. How you doing?
Very, very good. Just got done with doing a show I do called GamersRUs.com, and I do 5 different shows there. We shot 5 shows today.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, but it's all video games, so it's fantastic.
So Frank, have you seen some of the set pictures and all that have come been coming out of? From
yes, of course. It's like spoiler centric.
It is, but it's also like, you know, it's the kid at the store, the candy store.
Okay. You know, you're like, I don't want to know, but I want to know. Come on.
Right.
Well, I heard a little bit about your Quicksilver talk, and I have one thing I got to say.
Sure.
That you remember seeing the concept art that they put out during that making of the Marvel Universe?
Yes.
And how fast that Quicksilver was. Like, you didn't even see him. It's kind of like how they did the Man of Steel fight sequences. I think they're going to do the same thing with Quicksilver, where he kind of, like, you're not seeing the bottom half of him because, like, you know, he was just wearing normal pants, because they're going to totally, like, green screen the bottom of him. Like, he's going to be, his legs are going to be moving so fast you won't even be able to see.
Yeah, no, I definitely have a feeling that's where they're going with it. Like, it's going to be a, you know, CG heavy a look. And and it's funny because we talked about this the other day, Ben, where I actually saw a behind the scenes picture from Iron Man 2 where he was sitting in the donut.
Yes.
And in the picture, he just has the chest plate on and then like a black unitard underneath with like dots on it. So obviously they CG'd the rest of the armor on him. And I never realized, like, you know.
Yeah, have you ever seen any behind the scenes of Man of Steel? Do you know that Zod's entire uniform is CG? Like,
wow.
like Superman's, he's wearing it. But, like, if you look at Zod's, like, behind the scenes, he's just wearing his black suit with a bunch of dots on it so that way they can motion track it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it just shows you how far CG's come in the last, you know,
absolutely.
5, 6 years.
And how pervasive it's being used as well.
Yeah, I mean, think about Two-Face. Two-Face, like, you would, like, when they said they announced Two-Face, like, you expected, like, they did, you know, like, an 80s style effect, like, them messing up, burning their face with latex and you know, sticky gum and stuff like that.
Like Tommy Lee Jones's version.
Exactly. But instead, we get this really kind of mix of CGI and actual practical effects to make it look as realistic as possible.
Well, realistic to a point. But anyway.
Yes, of course. It's so complicated.
Yes.
It's like it's a man with half a face.
Let's not open that can of worms again.
No. We went into that last time. but the other thing that came out was the footage of Captain America from Age of Ultron.
Ooh.
Have you guys seen that yet?
I have not actually seen that yet. I
saw the pictures
Okay.
of the new uniform, and it just seems like they added some red. Do you agree? Like, well, is that what I saw?
It looks very much, it looks close to
Winter
the Winter Soldier, or actually it looks close to the, you know, the first uniform, which, I mean, if you've all seen the previous Winter Soldier, he is wearing that uniform at some point in the movie. So it looks close to that with a few changes here and there, you know. So, but the thing that was tough is the footage was stunt footage. You know, it wasn't actually,
yeah, so you don't know if that's final. They could actually CG over edits to the costume in post.
Right. I mean, yeah. It had the middle section with the stripes on it, which, you know, that's always been one of my complaints about the all blue uniform.
Yeah.
He's Captain America, darn it.
Yeah, my only problem with America's uniform is that, like, which I mean, I approve the Winter Soldier uniform because I thought he looked kind of ridiculous in the Avengers. Like, they made that, like, his cap, like, so tight that his head just looked like a bubble. Like, he just looked kind of funny. Like, and I like that they kind of opened it up and made it more, like, armor-ish instead of, like, I put this cloth over my head. You know, like.
Well, I think that's a translation from, you know, the Avengers version was Coulson's fanboy attempt at updating his costume. And now this is a step further into practicality.
Yeah, more of what he would make, you know, because now he's in charge of it all.
Right.
Right, which also makes you wonder, you know, you would hope he would wear that uniform just to be, to honor Coulson, who was killed in the Battle of New York, as far as Steve Rogers
killed, knows. Quote unquote.
Yes, but yet no, he's like, okay, good, he's dead. I don't have to wear that. Let me design something for myself.
Oh, jeez.
Because I mean, think about it. That is an angle they can go with in the movie, is that he did design that uniform because in all the uniforms he's worn in the movies, he didn't design. Someone else made for him.
Yeah.
That's true. Well,
that's true. I think the new uniform change actually has something to do with the end of Winter Soldier. Because I think there's, I'm just fan theoring, you know, I'm just the film student being like, well, I know film tropes, and this was the way you would go if you did this. But all I'm saying is that I think because one of the best moments in all of comics is when Captain America actually takes over S.H.I.E.L.D. He's in charge, you know?
Right.
Like, one of those, like, pinnacle Marvel moments when he's in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. And how great of a move would that be for Marvel to do? To make Captain more able to be in more movies, you know? Like, to be, like, a central part of more of the Marvel Universe is you put Cap in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because, I mean, in the trailer, you see Nick Fury get his car blown up and Winter Soldier slowly walks towards him. So I assume Nick Fury dies or, you know, quote-unquote, dies, and then we have Captain America step up and actually be in charge.
It's a possibility, but along the lines of that, there's actually been a lot of rumors floating around about Cap's run in these movies. That, unlike many of the other actors, he only has a 6-picture deal, whereas most others have a 9-picture deal. Mostly of his own making, because he didn't really want to commit to that long of a run.
Yeah, and he said he's going to retire.
Right, and he said that more recently, that he figures that once the 6-picture run is done, he's probably going to be done, and moving on. And I wonder if they'll take advantage of that to do, sort of passing of the torch to Bucky.
Yeah, that's down the line. Maybe even a pass of the torch to Falcon, who knows? who knows if they... But, I mean, I definitely think it's going to be Bucky, because who knows what they're going to do with Winter Soldier if they keep him bad guy. Yeah. They kind of work him back in, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to give anything away, because I actually heard what the two bumpers are. And yes, everyone, there'll be two bumpers on Captain America.
Of course there will be.
But, no, it'll be interesting. You know, the thing is, you can always say, yes, he's talking about retiring. He only has a 6-picture deal, but they can always throw another zero on the end of the paycheck and get him to come back and do another one.
What he says, actually, is he wants to direct. Like, he doesn't want to act anymore, and he wants to direct, which I think, like, power to the man.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Do what he wants to do. And I think it makes the Marvel movies have to face that they're movies, you know? Like, like they're not the comic books, so they got to make different. They got to make different choices.
Well, right, and I think he also mentioned that all of these things, they're trying to establish franchises. And what you do with a franchise, you have to expect that actor changes are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had it happen with a major player yet, but we've had it happen with plenty of minor players, and no one's batted an eyelash. You know, we've seen...
Hold on. You're saying Bruce Banner, the Incredible Hulk, is not a major player?
That is true.
It's not really contiguous. Well, I guess it is, because the Edward Norton version is supposed to be the same version
Same continuity.
And you also had Don Cheadle take over for... I can't even remember the other guy's name now, who played Rhodey.
Yeah, what's his name?
I'll find that. But
that's how important he was to the movies.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone loves Don Cheadle, so like that's a thing.
Yeah, no, Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard, that was it.
Yes. Right. So you know, it's just the way these things go. They're going to have to be able to pivot on these things and cast new guys. I'm sure they're going to avoid it as much as they can, which is why they do these 9-picture deals to use the people as much as they can. But at the same time, if they really want this to be a successful franchise that can go on indefinitely, they're going to have to recast parts every once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely, especially because now Marvel's taking that step into the TV realm with the 4 Netflix shows that are coming soon. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's big. That's huge. I mean, and they got the directors nailed down. They get the writers. So those are, like, happening, which is crazy. And I heard a rumor Michael C. Hall might be Daredevil, and please let him be Daredevil.
I was just about to ask if you guys heard the rumor about who's Daredevil. Okay,
I had not heard that. I could see that.
I just need to see Michael C. Hall in more things. That's my thing.
Well, I actually saw something the other day defending Batfleck, and one of the things that he pointed out, the guy who did this video, was that, well, Ben Affleck was there already because of Daredevil. And he's like, yeah, Daredevil wasn't a great movie, but
That's not really his fault, really. It's all about the terrible, terrible writing. Oh my God.
But if you think about it, Daredevil is the brooding dark hero of the Marvel Universe, so he is their Batman in a way.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah. And there's that beautiful shot in that movie where he's on the cross and, like, the rain's coming down. Like, that, like, you can just love that movie for that one shot, because, like, that is perfect Frank Miller, like, boom.
Right.
Watch the one shot and then turn the movie off.
Yeah, just...
Well, I even liked some of the sonar vision. I thought was well done. Like, effects-wise, there were some things in there that fit.
I'm gonna sum it up, man. You have to see the director's cut. Now, this is weird, like, because, like, I wouldn't recommend director's cuts for a lot of movies, but, like, the director's cut for Daredevil is actually far improved. They cut out a lot of crap, and they add a lot of stuff that, like, was the director's idea, and it's interesting. And you realize, really watching that, that's not Ben Affleck's fault. That movie sucks balls. Like, I mean, it's a little bit more Jennifer Garner's fault and adding Elektra to a movie.
Well, to stay on Marvel for a minute. So Marvel has been going strong for a while now, right? I mean, Phase 2 is here, and it's going to end with Age of Ultron, and it just seems like they're constantly filming. And like you guys said, they're franchises.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think... Where do you think this is going to end up, and what do you think is a better move for them to do? To keep going and try to do another Iron Man movie, another Captain America movie, another Black Widow movie, or bring in some of the other characters they haven't touched yet?
I think they need to keep injecting new blood. I think that for the sake of the story, I think that while I'm sure that they will probably consider doing another Iron Man movie down the road, I don't think Iron Man 4 should be high on the list right now. I think they need to get Doctor Strange in there. They need to get Black Panther in there and some other new faces to broaden it out so they can, you know, so it's a franchise of plurality instead of just a bunch of single threads.
Absolutely. I think the Marvel Universe has that type of strength in their roster to keep up doing 3 movies a year and still have very strong characters for every single one.
Yeah.
Like, I think definitely, and I think the other way they could go is the massive Marvel route. Now, this is my theory where you start seeing characters from other movies just showing up in other movies. You know, like all of a sudden you see, like you would see an Iron Man movie, but there would be a bunch of the Avengers in it. You know, like there would be, you know, there's tons of ideas. Doctor Strange movie where you have so many of the other magic characters in it. It's about, It's about having as many, like, because they have so many characters that people automatically, like, see and love. And they prove that with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, where they show a villain, and they don't even have to say the villain's goddamn name, and everyone watching it knows who it is before the end of the fucking movie, you know? Like, no one's sitting there being like, who is this guy? But by the end of the episode, you're like, Gravitron! You're like, like any of the other guys. You're like, Deathlok! Deathlok!
Well, and that's another thing, too. Like you just said, the massive Marvel route, in the sense of most of these guys, not all of them, but most of these guys wear masks, right?
Mm.
So you could essentially have Captain America and Iron Man show up in a Doctor Strange movie, and it doesn't have to be Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. can come in his PJs for 2 hours, record some lines, go home, and he could be in another movie for Iron Man. Are you kidding? Right.
Yep.
So, like, they don't have to show his face.
And, I mean, even if you don't even have 2 hours, even if just like a cameo or one scene where he comes in, helps.
No, I'm saying he only records for 2 hours. Like, he literally,
says on screen. Lines,
boom.
Right. Yeah, so exactly. Like, you know, listen to us, guys. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I know Kevin Feige listens to this podcast every week.
Yeah.
But speaking of Iron Man on screen and things that we were talking about from that Marvel special, Hulkbuster Iron Man coming.
Oh my god, that was the best part about that.
That was best in two ways, because one, not only did you see that concept art, like, oh, that looks great, but you know, with concept art by itself, you think, alright, they could do it, but it doesn't mean they're gonna do it. But then you saw that animatronic hand that cemented it. It was like, oh, they are so doing that. And that is going to be awesome.
They're doing that.
Hulkbuster's like my favorite Iron Man suit. Like, can you name a better Iron Man suit than Hulkbuster? Come on.
No.
I was excited just to see something that looks like the Hulkbuster in Iron Man 3.
I know.
Which turned out not to be, but it was still pretty cool.
It's like a box moving robot. You're like, come on. Yeah.
It's like, why the hell did he build a box building robot or moving robot?
I mean, it makes sense too, because again, another thing with these movies is they have to push the envelope and have a bigger spectacle in each one, a little bit bigger. So I think Hulkbuster,
but they're proving Iron Man, that with Ant-Man. I mean, they're just like, oh, this is a small hero, but look how gorgeous
again. And Ant-Man could end up being as big as Iron Man. Like, if they do it right, if they treat it well, he could be just as big as Iron Man.
He can be bigger because he can be giant.
Well, I meant, you know what I meant. I see what you did there.
That was good. I like that.
Did anyone say, speaking of franchises, you know, if we go to the other side of the aisle, over to the boys over at Warner Brothers in DC.
They do stuff over there?
Yeah, apparently. So the president of Warner Brothers, Kevin, I'm not going to pronounce his last name, so I'm going to skip it.
This is Kevin. Kev.
Kev. You know Kev.
Kev. You know Kev.
He was interviewed by the New York Times, right? So they're talking about, Zack Snyder's Batman Superman movie.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, he comes out and's like, well, you know, that's not all that we have in the works.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the quote is he's basically saying that, you know, the Superman Batman movie's coming out, and that they've made some changes in personnel over there to try to eliminate some red tape so things can start moving faster. And then he just said, you know, along with Batman Superman, expect a Justice League movie. And he's like,
absolutely.
And he said, there's a lot more coming, expect announcements coming soon.
Okay, yeah. So you guys heard, I can tell you the slate right now, I can guarantee it, is going to be Batman Superman. Justice League is going to be filmed at the same time as Batman Superman, so they'll be able to cross over perfectly. And they already said that they're going to film back to back. And then Justice League Dark by Guillermo del Toro is being very pushed forward, they said. So that's going to be coming. And they say everybody's going to be in that. There's going to be Deadman, Satana, you know, there's every dark character they can get. They're going to try to get in Justice League Dark.
Interesting.
Well, I was going to say, do you think the quote is got real weight behind it, or is it, oh my god, they're talking about how Marvel's crushing us, I gotta make some kind of comment?
I hope there's real weight behind it, because I don't want to hear it if it's the other. I don't want to. I'd rather hear, I don't want to hear platitudes, I want to hear results.
Yeah, and the problem is right now, Batman and Superman is in 2016. That's still 2 years off.
Right.
And Age of Ultron will be out by then. You know, like, phase two of Marvel's done, and then Batman Superman happens. You're like, DC's so behind.
They are behind, but at the same time, they shouldn't rush it. They should take their time and do it right. And they don't need to keep telling me. They don't need to keep telling me what they think they're going to work on next. I don't need to hear that they're going to try to reboot Green Lantern to make it better. I don't need that. If you're going to do it, fine. Figure it out and do it right, and tell me about it when you got something to show for it.
Well, that's a rumor that I want to bring up to you guys. What do you think about this Dwayne The Rock Johnson rumors? He tweeted the other day that he's working on a character with DC that has the same power level as Superman. And then he tweeted a couple months ago that that Jon Stewart could beat up Superman.
I've also read, though, that he's suggested that the character he could be playing is Lobo. So I've heard a mix there.
Yes, that would definitely work for power level Superman. Definitely.
I saw something online Saturday that the Lobo rumor was squashed.
Ooh.
And they're still talking about, you know, he's possibly Hal Jordan. Not Hal Jordan, Jon Stewart, sorry.
It'd be weird, because, like, the thing I always say about this is The Rock black? Like, does he count? Like, that? I mean, I mean that's kind of terrible, but, like, if I want Jon Stewart to be, like, you know, like, it's, like, black, like, I don't, it's, like, it's kind of insulting. That's the whole point of Jon Stewart, is that he's the first black Green Lantern, you know, like, he's the first big black DC character, you know, and that's what, what's his name? That was Dennis O'Neill, but on Fat Man on Batman. Well, who's before him? Neil Adams said, you know, like, he's the one who pushed for Jon Stewart to be that icon.
Right, right. I'm totally there with you. I totally understand what you're getting at. And by the way, back it up, the first real big black superhero from DC was Black Lightning.
No, I'm sorry.
Tony Isabella has actually been on our show before, so we gotta give out props.
Okay, down to Black Lightning. Black Lightning's fun. Great reads.
But in all honesty, to go with what you're saying is, and you keep hearing it too, you know, rumblings about there not being black characters being representative in these movies, even though the first movie that kicked this all off with Blade, but then they kind of died after that, you know. And there's, you know, the re-imaging of Johnny Storm to be African-American. And it's like, no, just do a Black Panther movie. So if DC's going to jump on and say, hey, here is an African-American superhero, the cracker white, The Rock Johnson, even though I think he is part African-American, it's slightly insulting, you know? I mean, because, he's not, I don't even think he's somebody they think of in that community, you know?
Mm.
So it's right. Like, let's get, you know, a real great African American actor to play. Yeah.
They got Don Cheadle to play, like, to play who we said earlier. What's his name? War Machine /
Rhodey.
Rhodey. Sorry. Why can't they get another great actor like Don Cheadle? John Cheadle's like the pinnacle. Like he's awesome. And they got Samuel Jackson. They got all the great guys. You know, like, so. They need to bring in somebody just as fantastic as Samuel Jackson and Jon Cheadle, you know?
Yeah.
Right, right, yes.
I mean, not Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. He also might play Martian Manhunter. So it's unclear what his role is right now. And,
I mean, that could work because he doesn't have to talk much, which is nice.
It's easy for him to memorize his lines.
Yeah.
So. That's why it was brilliant casting to have... what's his face play Grood?
Ben Diesel. He has one line. Yes.
It's perfect.
Just say Grood 100 different ways, and then you're done. You can go home. Here's Groot. Your paycheck.
Good job, Ben Diesel.
Yes. So, no. I want to see Jon Stewart Green Lantern in a movie. I want to see
absolutely. Lantern. Like, I mean, I love Hal Jordan, but after what Ryan Reynolds did, you're kind of like, maybe we should just do Jon Stewart.
Well, I actually saw something, too, the other day where they were saying Jon Stewart is box office kryptonite. Like, every movie he's been in has pretty much flopped at the box office.
How many movies has he been in?
Yeah, wait, since when has he been in a movie?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I meant Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, you mean Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
I don't know if that's his fault. Like, I don't blame him.
Really bad movies.
No. So, like, they cast him as Deadpool in Wolverine Origins.
Don't even
and
say
to
it.
Be fair, I think that was, you couldn't have cast the role better. It was a perfect choice for it. They screwed up the role. They went and took him. He was perfect before they did anything to him. Like the version of him before they actually touched him and mutilated him and all that was great. And then they went and screwed it up. Like the end card version of him was just, that was just abysmal. It shouldn't have happened. It was an abomination. And
I actually saw an interview with the guys who like made the design of Deadpool in the game, like in that movie, and they were like, "We had nothing to do with it. We tried so hard to make it badass and look cool for you guys, but like they wanted what they wanted, and we had to make it, or we wouldn't get paid."
Right. Like, the stupid diamond eye things and the mouth that was like sewn shut or whatever.
Yeah, the merc with the mouth and you close his goddamn mouth.
Right. Whose bad idea was that? And again, with him playing Hal Jordan, now granted, I don't think Hal Jordan was the best part for him. I think he makes a better Kyle Rayner. Or, I'm thinking of?
Kai Gardner.
Yeah. Guy Gardner, that's what I meant to say, sorry.
The asshole, right.
Yes, I think he played Guy Gardner perfectly.
If they put Guy Gardner in a movie, I might hurt myself, though. Like, I would be so angry. Like, if they put Guy Gardner in a movie before doing, like, any other superhero, I would be like, are you kidding?
But again, with that, I don't think he was the reason the Green Lantern sucked. Granted, he happened to be there.
It was Parallax.
Yes, it was Parallax and his weak-ass human host.
Yeah, Hector Hammond. There's so many reasons why they shouldn't have used Parallax first movie, but whatever.
take the villain that they spent literally decades building in the comics, or retconning at least, in the comics.
And to say it's a space presence, and they're like, oh, cool. And that's it.
Right.
Like, oh, God. Like, I talked about it with Deshaun, my co-host on Real Books Don't Have Batman, and we've always said that should have been, like, third movie. Third movie should have been Parallax, you know? Like, it should have been Hector Hammond the entire movie. I don't know
why. Let him be his own threat. Let him, whatever.
It was just that trope you had to have two villains in a superhero movie.
But you don't.
No, you don't. There's been many good superhero movies with one villain in them.
Mm.
Let's keep to that formula.
You know what superhero movie was great with just one villain in it? The Incredibles.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. And apparently, Sam Jackson has come out and said that they've approached him to do Incredibles 2.
Yeah. Did you hear they confirmed that there is going to be the bad news first? There's going to be a Cars 3. and then the good news is that they said that it might not be an Incredibles 2, but it is going to be a movie that uses the cast of the Incredibles. Like, it's going to be a movie involving them, which is kind of a good idea. Maybe they could do a prequel. Maybe they could do, like, you know, where it was like the height of superheroes and they could show all that, or they could go even further down the line. Just keep showing
it. It could be a generational thing. They could go, you know, jump a good generation forward where we see Frozone and Mr. Incredible are background characters, older, you know, and done their part. But the kids are growing up and dealing with their own battles.
Teen Titans, go.
But when I read the article, I love the art. The comment from Sam Jackson was, apparently they can't do an Incredibles movie without Frozone, and I just can't wait to see what Jack turned into. So
definitely. I definitely want to see how he grew up and what he turned into.
Yes.
What would be really amusing if they took a twist there and somehow, once he got older and more present and conscious, he couldn't control any of those abilities. Like, they just all sort of went dormant, and he's nothing. So,
or he could be the villain that destroyed all of Earth, and now the Incredibles have to take it back against their brother. Who knows?
Maybe.
We shall see.
That we shall.
Pixar fan fiction. Signed by superhero speak.
Let's now, speaking of cartoons, go back into the small screen. Have you seen, Frank, I know Ben has seen them, have you seen the pictures from the Gotham movie show that have come out.
Yeah. It's exciting.
And young Selena Kyle, huh? Yeah.
I dig that they're going for like as little Batman as possible. You know, like they're like,
well, he's little.
Good idea. You know, like, and which, you know, they're only going to use that as like the pilot episode. Like, you know, they're going to be, it's going to be detective dealing with the killing of the Waynes. You know, and trying to chill down.
Hopefully. Right. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that being the story as long as that's the story. Like, I think that the Selena Kyle thing, I hope she's not a huge character in it, because I think it breaks
contrived as all hell.
Right. It kind of breaks the canon of it, because she wasn't necessarily a bad girl in her youth. Mm. She was a fairly, you know, normal kid, and just somehow, you know, this break came later, I'm pretty... at least that's my understanding of it. I could be wrong.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think this show is a little weird without the man wearing the having the mustache. That's all I'm worried about.
You know, you gotta grow into the stash. You know,
do you think that's the end of the first season? Like, all of a sudden, they, like, end the season, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and they pan up, and there's the mustache. And, like, and you're like, yeah, I can't wait till next season when he's got that mustache.
It's gonna fiance be like, what's that caterpillar on your lip?
That'd be great.
I mean, unless they have a story where something happens and he, you know, grows the mustache for some reason, you know, maybe he loses
I could see them doing something like he ends up getting, you know, through the course of his rookie year, in the end of it he ends up getting literally like a hostage or something like that for some period of time, where he's held under, you know, in some dungeon or whatever, and when he comes out, he
torches him.
Right, and when he comes out, he's scruffy as hell, and he starts to, you know, he goes through the process of starting to shave and gets most of his beard off when his fiance comes in and is like, "I kind of like the mustache," and he keeps it.
So you just wrote the story arc for like the second season.
Apparently, I did.
Yeah. Wow. You know,
something also has to happen to make the penguin fat, because
he's got
to
get it.
That scrawny guy doesn't work for me.
He has to eat a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, but you know, you're sitting there saying, "Oh, Selena Kyle wasn't a bad girl," blah 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 blah. But you and I both love Smallville. And
I know. They took a lot of liberties there. I know. I'm aware, and I'm gonna be okay with it either way. I'll watch it, and it may suck, but I'll watch it anyway. So,
I've been researching the show. I'm reading Gotham Central Volume 1 right now. Have you guys read Gotham Central before?
I have not.
I have read. I've read a couple issues.
It is absolutely fantastic. Brubaker and Greg Rucka working on one police title. It's great. It's like the best CSI episodes rolled into Gotham. It's great.
Nice. And see, that's what they need to do with the show. That's what the show should be.
Absolutely. And that's what I hope it is.
I hope that's what they're doing, you know. Like, looking to that as an archetype for what the show should be, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, a lot of people complained about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it was, you know, it's a spy show, not a superhero show.
Right. But, you know, they said that going in, and people really just need to just accept that. If they don't want a spy show, don't watch it. Go watch something else. It is the show that it is, and I like the show that it is. Not that I'm telling Gotham to copy off of that, because that would be stupid.
Well, that's what makes me a little bit worried, is that the show is called Gotham instead of GCPD or something like that. So it could just be like Arrow, where it's kind of like soap opery and has all these
But it's not on the CW.
No, which is good. It's on Fox.
It's on Fox.
Yes.
So that's probably good, but it'll probably get canceled after a season. Come on.
We'll see.
Right. Well, we'll see.
After they move it to a different night about four times.
Fox that does it? Yeah, that is Fox that does it. Yeah. Yes, they have a good show. They don't want people to watch it.
Right. They'll premiere it on Tuesday, and then it'll be on Thursday about 4 weeks in, and then it'll be on Fridays, and no one will know where the hell it is.
New time on Fox!
They'll cram Family Guy and Simpsons down your throat till you're tired of them. But anything else, you have to hunt for.
Yeah.
You really want to watch this? Ooh, it's over here now. Ooh, now it's over here.
I don't know if you really want to watch this. You gotta really want to watch it.
Speaking of shows that might possibly be canceled after the first season, did you guys hear that Blackout is coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I did hear that.
Ooh.
That should be interesting. I don't know a lot about that character, though. I read a little bit about it today, and I think it can fit with him being a scientist looking into, like, dark matter type stuff. I think they can make that work for them.
If they made the gravity episode work, they'll make that work.
Exactly. Yes, yes, exactly. Yes. Why not? So, but I wonder if they'll do it similarly in that he, like... Well, actually, what I heard is that his character ties into the introduction of the cellist, which is coming up, played by Amy Acker in an upcoming episode.
Yes, who is Coulson's ex-girlfriend.
Which has been mentioned in The Avengers. It's been mentioned in a lot of others.
It's been peppered through there. So they've brought it up in this show at least once or twice. And, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think I read a thing where the actor who's playing the part is talking about it, and he said, actually, that the motivation is that this guy is sort of, you know, aside from the scientific things that he's doing, the character himself is sort of was really dark and down in his dumps, and the music of this cellist sort of brought him out of his funk. And so he clings to it.
Sort of like Coulson.
Yes, but you know, clings to it in a sort of creepy stalker way that probably is how Coulson and team end up in the area. Yeah.
Right. So Patrick Brennan is the actor who will be playing Marcus Daniel, who is Blackout. I hope that they take Blackout's costume to the full extent and use that in the show. And the those bolt. Who aren't familiar, Blackout's costume looks very much like Elektra's costume from the comic books, except it's black instead of green, and there's only got one lightning bolt on
it. It's a little bit of Elektra, a little bit of Black Adam.
Yes, yes. So that's all I want, guys. You know, do anything else you want with the character, just give me that costume.
I just want that.
And in other words, please don't give that to him.
No, I have to disagree with your joke at the beginning, though, that I don't think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to get canceled after one season. It's
I would hope not.
It's their best show they've had in years, you know? Yeah. Like,
yes. It's just, you keep reading every week, the ratings are slipping.
Still massive.
Got time. Right. And I think the breaks have been hurting it a lot. They need to stop taking these breaks. The rest of the season needs to play continuously and get through this arc.
That was their even announcement. Did you see their ad? They're like, 6 episodes in a row. You're like, oh, fucking finally. Thank you. Like a normal television show? Great.
Is that what they do?
No. Yeah, I literally saw an ad that was like 6 episodes in a row. Weekly.
Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, I do think they took the one break because of the Olympics, and then they took another break, I think, because of March Madness. But still, it's, a little much, you know. And my biggest issue was, you know, they came back and then they did the Marvel movie episode. And it's like, couldn't you have done that before you came back so there wasn't a break? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're afraid to compete with basketball, I guess.
I think they're really, really trying to make sure it, like, coincides with Winter Soldier. They're like, no, we gotta have an episode like the day that weekend. We gotta do it.
Okay, so I think to wrap up tonight, and it's a good thing that you're here, Frank, because you're more of a comic book reader than my good friend Ben.
Learned some things when I'm not busy with many other things.
So we've lived through the death of Gwen Stacy.
Mm.
We've lived through the creation of Venom. We've lived through the clone saga. We've lived through Peter Parker being killed and replaced by Doc Ock and coming back from the dead. And now we're going to have the crisis of Spider-Man.
Oh, God. Peter's back, and he brings a billion other Spider-Men.
Other Spider-Men with him.
Yep.
So, yes, Marvel is planning a crossover that includes every version of Spider-Man that ever was.
No, what you just heard, what you thought you just heard was, like, a lot of Spider-Men, but no. What they meant is all the Spider-Men. Yes. Like, every single thing you can think of that has Spider-Man in it is going to be in this.
Yep.
Which is nuts.
Every flavor.
Spidey 2099.
Spider-Wolf, Spider-Knight.
Which, I mean, Spider-Man 2099 is getting his own title.
Again?
Excited. Yes,
they're bringing him back.
I was actually a big fan of that show, that comic when it originally existed.
You were not a fan of Spider-Man Unlimited. Come on, let's be serious. That was just like, we kind of want to be Spider-Man 2099, but we don't know if comic fans will get it, so we'll just call it Unlimited.
Yeah,
so that was Peter Parker too, not Miguel. Yeah. So.
Oh, I didn't even know. See, I didn't even know.
Spider-Man Unlimited was the dumbest cartoon ever. It was literally, I think, my kids found that on Netflix, and I was trying to watch that with them, like, oh my god, this actually got produced? it is so, so horrible. I mean, the premise is that basically, Peter Parker, first of all, after getting rid of the Venom suit, makes his own super suit that's self-healing and but it's all like nanites, and so it retracts from the, like these things on his wrists.
So he's Batman Beyond, but he's Spider-Man
right,
Beyond.
Right. But then like they discover another Earth in orbit, or was it like a portal? I can't remember. I want to say they found like a sister Earth, literally in on the other end of the orbit, like so on the other side of the sun from Earth. But in the same orbit, they discovered the planet there.
And no one noticed this from...
Because it's always on the other side of the sun. We didn't see
it. Right, they didn't see it. So J. Jonah Jameson's son, the astronaut, is going to go on a mission to this... He's
an unlucky bastard.
No, he is. So somehow they have like a portal that links to it, and he can fly a shuttle through the portal and get right to the planet. And Spider-Man ends up accidentally hitching a ride on this rocket. Along with Venom and Carnage, and this other planet is the domain of who was it? I can't even remember.
Some animal
race. Weirdo who's basically turning turning animals into anthropomorphized, you know, animal human creatures.
This
whole alternate, you know, Earth where humans are second class citizens, and these, you know. You know,
a lesson for the kiddies is what you're telling
me. Right, and so it was just bad.
The worst part about this was it was a lead off of the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, which was really good. Uh-huh. And then they went into this, and like everyone turned their TVs off, like no one could watch it. So I'm sorry, did you mention this? Because I'm reading the list, and they threw this one out there too. Spider-Ham apparently will be included.
He has to be included in it. Of course, it's gonna be Spider-Ham. Apparently, there's also a version of Spider-Man with Doc Ock arms. Ben Reilly, Scarlet Spider, will be back. Probably dozens of other. I see him just.
I mean, yeah. I love the.
Well, Kane's around though. Kane is actually You know, the Scarlet Spider comic is actually in a current run with him back.
The thing about this whole event is that it was totally worth it for that one piece of art where every Spider-Man is in it. Like that is gorgeous.
Is awesome.
I want that on my wall, but I don't want it as a comic book.
Get your favorite artist and just get that commissioned. You don't need.
Yeah.
It'll cost less than the emotional trauma of reading this event and going to have on you.
They have a medieval knight Spider-Man. They have the noir Spider-Man from the video games.
There was a book, too.
The Bagman.
Iron Spider. You know,
of course, Iron Spider. It's quite an array.
It's going to be ridiculous.
It is.
And after, like, did you read the last Superior Spider-Man, David?
No, I haven't read it yet.
The last Superior Spider-Man issue, I was corrected on my podcast that there is still one more issue of Superior Spider-Man left, but Peter's not. Spidey Ock's not in it. It's just going to be Peter. So I don't know why they're calling it Superior, but whatever.
And there's Spider Ape in this, too.
No, but I have not read it yet, so I'm a little behind.
Yeah, I'm behind, too. I have to catch up. But they're all teaming up to defeat Moribund.
I thought this was just going to be another one of those crazy, wacky Spider-Man events, you know? Like, Superior Spider-Man just felt like, you know, like, it felt like a bad Clone Saga idea, but it turned out to be one of the best things to happen to Spider-Man in years. And now they're ending it with so not much circumstance. Note.
Yeah. The worst palate cleanser ever.
Yeah, it's just like, aw.
It could be good. We don't know. We'll see.
There's still one issue left. I'm still going to leave my opinions open until I read that one issue, and then I can buy the whole thing and trade one day.
Right. I'm wondering with this Infinite Spider-Man crisis, is it Clone Saga number 2, or is it him jumping through time?
I think
it's going to be kind of like Spider-Man, where like they go through.
Yeah, I was going to say Spider-Man sort of established that multiverse where they actually linked the Ultimate and the classic universe, where Peter Parker went to meet Miguel O'Hare accidentally, obviously, via the portal that Mysterio was using to sort of tread into both worlds. Mm-hmm. So that door has been open, and they probably will use that door to open many, many other doors to make this event work.
And, I mean, this is going to be a lot more Spider-Man this year. Miles Morales is getting his own comic book. It's going to be now called Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man.
Nice.
And then there is also, and he is also leading the new team of Ultimates.
I was going to say, I'd heard that that they've completely changed up that team now, and he's a member of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Teen Titans of the Ultimates.
Yeah.
But well, it's pretty good. I dig the team.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Ultimate Universe, they've pretty much killed the majority of the actual Ultimates. So, they're what's left.
You gotta do what you gotta do, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's what the Ultimate Universe is for, you know, doing those drastic changes and just being like, what actually happens if we actually killed off these people?
Right. Realism.
Instead of, you know, Wolverine's dying in 3 months. Ooh, no one's actually scared he's going to stay dead. Come on, guys.
How many times has he died?
This is your last regeneration. No, wait, we'll give you some more.
Whoa, don't get your food stuck in my Wolverine. That's all I'm saying. All right, boys. Well, for those listening, don't let our opinions on the Infinite Spider-Man crisis cloud your judgment on buying this book.
No, we're prejudging, and we realize it. But I will give it its due. I'll probably read some of it when it eventually becomes available through Marvel Unlimited a year after it happens. So.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to try to if I don't drop Amazing Spider-Man, which I might, who knows. I'm going to give Amazing Spider-Man a few reads and then I'll decide if I'm dropping it or not. I'll definitely pick up this Infinite Spider story just for the fun of it, you know?
Yes, the fun of it. I still have the taste of the Clone Saga in my mouth. Anyway, yeah,
it hurts.
Spit it out.
It's okay because it's Dave. So long. You know, like you're just like you can't help but be like, wow, I've never felt so much pain for so long in comics before.
Before we go, Frank, is there anything that you want to plug?
I am Yep Frank Duran, or you can find me everywhere as Yep Frank, at Yep Frank on Twitter, and my YouTube is Yep Frank, but be sure to check out Real Books Don't Have Batman, and, because we are talking about Jeff Loeb stories, in our Year of the Batman specials we've been doing every Saturday, and next we're doing Dark Victory, which is going to be great.
Cool.
Yeah, we just did Long Halloween.
And don't forget, nice. Boys and girls, you can catch Real Books Don't Have Batman along with Superhero Speak on the Rhymes with Geek website. That's rhymeswithgeek.com. You got the email too, right? Anyway.
Sorry. We like them.
I'm lifting the fourth wall. Yes, don't forget to check us out on Rhymes with Geek. And on that note, boys and girls, don't let your cape be caught in the door. Have a good week. Speaking of capes, you can tug on ours by joining the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+, at Superhero Speak. If you have any comments on my bad jokes, you can email me at dave@superheroespeak.com.
You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and various other channels. Or if you'd like to tease the beard of knowledge, you can email me at ben@superheroespeak.com.
We also occasionally rant about things on our website, superheroespeak.com. Or, if you'd like to further discuss the prowess of Rainbow Dash versus anybody in the greater geek universe, you can email me at john@superheroespeak.com.
And don't forget to check out our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. companion show, Agents of Speak, which you can watch live most Tuesdays around 9 p.m. on our Google+ page, or archived on our YouTube channel. Now let go of our cape. This episode of Superhero Speak was brought to you by Blueberry.com. Head on over to Blueberry.com and use the offer code Superhero Speak to get 1 month free on their hosting or premium statistic plans. That's blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com.